You may have noticed over these last few weeks that on several Sundays at least, the choir, rather than processing, has been sitting amidst the congregation and then coming forward and after communion, returning to their more familiar spot in the choir loft to sing the anthem. We're doing this as an experiment of sorts to see if the presence of choir members in your midst can support and strengthen congregational singing. And with just very short time of experimentation, from the perspective of up here at least, it certainly has done that. It's a wonderful gift to hear more and more sound growing out of our common singing on Sunday mornings. And we are blessed with a particularly resonant space when we sing in this church. Many years ago, I was fortunate to be part of a choral group that did some touring in England, singing in small parish churches and community buildings, but also in one or two places, the opportunity to sing in a great cathedral space. And I will never forget the time that we sang at Ely Cathedral, not in the main nave, but rather in the Lady Chapel, which is attached to the north transept. And it was one of those moments where, standing there in that space as we sang, our voices were just amplified, and as much as I thought we were a good choir to begin with, we were superb, as the walls around us just did something to our individual efforts. It was a beautiful space. Also a space in some ways scarred by religious strife and dissension. There's an elaborate cycle of statuary around the Lady Chapel of the life of the Virgin, most of which was destroyed in the disputes between Roman Catholics and Protestants as England was going through such strife in its religious life. It's a beautiful space, marred by human hands as much as it was built by human hands. It is a temple, a building created by human hands, much like the temple that followers of Jesus looked at as they admired its beauty and its stones and its gold. And Jesus said to them, "Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." Last week, we heard the prophet Haggai speak to a discouraged people about rebuilding a temple, the Temple of Solomon, that had been destroyed. And now this week, several centuries later, we hear Jesus in that same place looking at Herod's temple, which in some ways did exceed the former glory of Solomon's temple. And he's saying exactly the opposite. This temple, which has been built, will be destroyed. How many centuries hence might people stand here and see something different? Well, temples may be destroyed, but in our gospel lesson today, in the midst of strife and dissension, Jesus says there is something that does have permanence, something that will last, something that is eternal. And he looks at his followers and says, "It is you. It is you. Your souls will endure. Not a hair of your head will perish. Yes, you may die, you may even be put to death, but you will endure. And for what?" Well, I hear a clue in Jesus' words when he speaks about how his followers will be brought to places where they will have to defend themselves against those who would persecute them or those who would kill them. And he says these words. He says, "Make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict." It is for God's word, Christ's purpose, that we are to endure, so that through us and our life together, God's voice will be heard. When I think back to that time in the Ely Cathedral, as much as I used to think, well, I would like to see the songs I offered as an offering to God. I was pretty focused on the sound of my voice and the sound of the choir's voice and how lovely that was. But what if we were to consider this, that our lives, whether as individuals or as a community, were meant to be a temple in which God's voice was amplified, in which God's voice was spoken and began to resonate with a vibrancy and a beauty that the world could hear and receive. When Jesus says, "Do not prepare your defense in advance," I think he's saying, make room. Make room for the guidance and presence of the Spirit to give you voice, to give you strength, to give you courage. Last week, the English composer John Taverner died, and much of his music was influenced by his faith. He converted early on in life to the Orthodox faith, and his music is infused with a sense of the holy. And reading his obituary, I came across this quotation of his, where he said, "We seem to have lost our contact with the primordial, the idea of, call it divine revelation, as opposed to something that's learned by the human intellect, something that if you lay yourself completely open, and you just open your heart completely, something will actually come into it." I see those words not as an argument against the intellect, against our best efforts to explain and defend our faith and belief in God, but rather as an opening to something that is even beyond our ability to comprehend or to find words for. In a book called Practicing Resurrection, the pastor and theologian Eugene Peterson says that we as Christians live our lives in the practice of what we do not originate and cannot anticipate. And when we practice resurrection, we continuously enter into what is more than we are. God's voice, God's presence, more than we can imagine, yet something that we can continually make room for and space for in our life together. We need to make room for the unimaginable possibilities of God, because we are confronted day by day with the unimaginable calamities and terrors that confront us. Jesus spoke of them: famine, earthquake, plague, wars, and rumors of insurrection. But when confronted with that, and when we do not have words or necessarily a response that we can come up with, perhaps God does have one for us. This week, as I was reading and listening to reports of the devastation in the Philippines, I heard one report about a hospital where the devastation was almost complete, and yet nurses, doctors, rescue workers are there providing relief. And there was this one Filipino nun who was being interviewed, and she did not for a moment deny how profound this tragedy has been for her community. And then she concluded with these words, "But oh, we have been blessed. So much prayer, so much support. We have been blessed." Now, one could see that as a mindless denial of reality, or perhaps one could see that as this: one who had made up her mind not to prepare her defense of the gospel beforehand, but who even in the midst of that tragedy is creating a space and a place in her heart, in her life, for the words of the gospel to resonate as if they were in a cathedral, pointing to a new heaven and a new earth, even as she confronted the realities of her day. We have a lovely space, a lovely temple in which voices may be amplified. We have a lovely community and lovely lives in which the voice of God may be amplified for the good of God's creation. Amen.